The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford dealers, family owned since 1960. Don't worry, drive Curry. Bill Curry Ford is there for you 24/7 at BillCurryFord.com. You can schedule mobile service at your home, and it's truck month. Zero money down, zero payments for 90 days, 0% financing, and up to $10,000 off MSRP, plus incredible lease deals on all kinds of models. BillCurryFord.com. Bucks fans, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, he's not here. Ira Kaufman on the Ira Kaufman Podcast. Lee DeCamper's here. I'm here. Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Ira is on the mend.
He's on the disabled list.
On the disabled list from his eye surgery that he talked about last podcast. He's doing well. Lee talked to him. I've been texting with Ira, and I was impressed. He could see his phone, so that was good. I was worried. I'm like, well, do you text a guy who just had eye surgery? I said, you know what? I'm gonna text him first, see if he's okay. And he's doing well. So we've got plenty to hit on this podcast. Lee, you think Ira's coming back or he's going to retire from this?
No, I think he's coming back. He's already talking about retirement, but this isn't going to chase him into retirement.
No.
He's very, like I said, I talked to him a couple of days ago, post-surgery. He's beyond chipper. He's very satisfied so far with his with the results of the surgery. And he was telling me, man, you really put me at ease. You were right. He goes, you went through this before. You said it, there's no reason to get stressed out. And he goes, and you're right. It was nothing. And he seemed to be very, very, very good spirits.
Yeah, well, I'm just joking. Sage is not hanging it up. Not yet. It's going to be a long time. Many years, in fact, I'm sure, for the Sage.
He's got to be in the mix. He's got to be in the mix.
Yeah, it's just
he's got to know what's going on.
It's just stupid. When Ira's been talking about retirement for like 6 years, and
longer than that,
he's always trying to find an angle, and he never finds one that satisfies himself. Because who doesn't want to hear Ira talk about the Bucks?
He likes the attention.
He's good at what he does.
Yeah, Stewart, he likes how Goodell dotes on him, and the Glazer family they are good to him, and Jason Light and Todd Bowles are good to him. He likes that. He likes to be in the center of attention.
So Ira did not get to our sit-down with Jason Light on Wednesday. And actually, just to set the record straight, we were given two seats, and it wasn't like Ira owned. We were given two seats, and both of us used them. So it wasn't any sort of delineation that Ira had a special seat.
See, I thought that was Ira, and I thought that, given the honor, you know, the respect.
I did tell the Bucks, hey, if Light's having this special invite sit-down, you realize Ira's got to be there. So we are looking for two seats because the Sage is the Sage, and we just got our two seats, and that was it. But unique situation in the world of the Bucks. I had previously said Jason Light was hiding from the media, and he was to a degree, but now he's not hiding. We had a nice chat, getting into all kinds of things, which we're going to explore on this podcast.
What, he likes to eat at Wawa, you mean?
He mentioned he goes to Wawa. Now, I know he likes to eat at Wawa, but that doesn't have anything to do with anything. He does go to Wawa, though. So if you're looking for Jason Light, you can stalk Wawas around the Tampa Bay area.
You know that there's going to be a couple of dudes hanging out at Wawa hoping to see Light walk in.
I don't think so. Maybe. Maybe. Hey, they could just stand outside One Buck like they did years ago for Bill Sheridan.
Yes.
Trying to get in for a film session. When he called out the fans, the former Bucks defensive coordinator slash linebackers coach. No word on Levante David, Lee, from the sit-down with Jason Light. And that is interesting, to say the least. Light said, unlike with Mike Evans, he said the communication's great, Levante, blah, blah, blah. But to not decide yet, is he waiting for the draft?
It's almost sound like he's willing to wait until training camp.
Well, I asked, is the door open all the way up till training camp? Light said yes. But I'm talking about David. Is David waiting for the draft, or is David waiting for more money? Because if they don't get the inside linebacker that they want in the draft, and we know that we're sure that they want at least one of them, but if they don't get their top one or two picks, then David becomes more attractive and more valuable to them.
Sure, and I guess what you're suggesting is David could squeeze him for more money. If I'm Light, I have to attack the draft and the rest of the offseason as if David's gone. I don't think you can assume anything.
Yeah, you have to. You have to. But it doesn't mean you're going to get the linebacker you want in the draft.
No, and that's never the case. So do what you got to do. You can't assume David's going to be back. And if you do assume that, you're probably going to get burned. And maybe that might cost you a contract extension.
The David situation is really interesting, Lee, because you wouldn't worry about Levante David if he just showed up for training camp. He doesn't need to be there in the spring.
True.
I'm not saying he wouldn't want to be, but he doesn't need to be there at all. And he could continue to rehab, get stronger, remake his body. We know he feels great, we've been told, after the surgery, but we're a long way from training camp. He could just be one of these guys who just comes in and I'm ready to go. And, you know, Bowles is going to trust him. And if they put a lot of incentives in his contract, which I'm assuming they would, and say, hey, Levante, we can only give you this, but we're happy to give you incentives. If the real Levante David comes back, we'll give you a chance to make, you know, $8 million again. I hope he does come back at this point. I know a lot of fans are mixed, but if he feels good, he's a professional. The doctors are going to look at his knee. If he feels he can contribute, bring him back. What's the harm?
Oh, I would bring him back, sure, because you figure he's got to be better than any backup linebacker you can find. You know,
I hope so.
Well, you know, here's some fans, and I'm not knocking fans at all, but some fans are like saying, oh, he's done. And I read, you know, all of a sudden the writers, plural, writers at CBS act like the guy's like KJ Britt or something. So if people think that he's that bad, he's still going to be the best backup you'll ever have. I'm not saying he should be a backup. I'm not saying his skills have deteriorated that much, but there is that line of thinking out there.
KJ Britt, by the way, a new member of the New England Patriots, a Mike Vrabel guy.
Oh, wow. Vrabel's going to fix him, huh?
You want David back or not?
Yeah, I want David back. That won't stop me from getting Sonny Styles if he's available for whatever reason. What's kind of weirding me out, if you're a regular fan out there and you want David coming back, what would worry me more than anything isn't the knee, isn't his relationship with Todd Bowles, which is excellent. He loves Todd Bowles. It's David saying his little girl doesn't want him to play.
Yeah, that doesn't...
That would worry
that
me.
That doesn't worry me.
No?
Doesn't worry me at all. No, because she's like 6 years old.
Still, your little daughter. And Daddy, where you going again? You can't stay home with me?
She could change her mind on a whim. She may have already, you know, had it. Oh, I didn't know you weren't going to play ever. You know, I just thought you weren't going to play for a little while. And, you know...
I'll buy you a new dress if you let me play. Something like that.
I don't know about that, but I think if Levante David comes back, he will announce that this is my last year. Like, it would be like a true farewell tour.
Now, he doesn't want that, does he? He doesn't want the attention? I've heard that he doesn't want that, well, what that brings.
I don't know about that, Lee. Last year, the Buccaneers had a film crew following Levante David for much of the season.
Oh, wow.
Now, they haven't produced anything yet, mm-hmm. but they had extra crews following him. I saw it in Buffalo. Our photographer for JoeBucksFan.com, he's seen it on the field, and I've seen it myself in other areas. So the Bucs were doing a lot of documentation of David to probably produce one of their incredible things mm-hmm. that they do for Buccaneers.com.
He doesn't like that extra attention.
Well, I think that's old news. With the amount of interviews that Levante David has done, with him saying publicly that he's interested in getting into the media, with
which is funny on face
yeah,
value.
Yeah, funny on face value, but with him agreeing to the film crews, I don't think that's Levante David anymore. I really don't. I think that's Levante David 2017 when he said, when he was hiding from the cameras of Hard Knocks. And I think once Brady came, I really think David embraced the spotlight. I think he knew, hey, this is how I'm going to make more of a legacy and all that stuff. So, yeah, I think he's changed the last 4 or 5 years.
He was borderline. Not saying he was hostile, but he borderline hostile with the Hard Knocks cameras. He's like, get away from me.
Yeah, he admitted to hiding from the cameras, and he wasn't in Hard Knocks very much. But I think he's changed, and he's realized that, hey, if I want to make the Hall of Fame, more media is a good thing. And more media didn't help him get into a Pro Bowl, and playing all those national games didn't.
Just once.
Well, more the media of the Tom Brady years.
Didn't
do anything for his profile, but it did in the sense of he became more in demand. And I think he likes hanging out with Kay Adams and talking to Adam Schein and doing obscure podcasts in Miami. He's very much in demand for these player centric podcasts, which, to be fair, the player centric podcasts, they weren't there in 2015, 2016, 2017. Now it's like, oh, busting with the boys. Yeah, Levante, come on. And so,
did you see one of the comments on JoeBucksFan.com? What's your fascination with Kay Adams? Really?
Well, she's not for everybody, Lee. She's an acquired taste. If I'm 25, 30 years old, I think she's an old woman. You know, so we got plenty to get to, Lee, which we will. Florida's Elite Restoration, floridaselite-restoration.com. Get there. If you own a home or you own a property, just get there now. floridaselite-restoration.com. Because at some point, you're going to have a disaster. Could be water damage, could be mold, could be a fire, flood. It happens. It's happened to me. I don't know if it's happened to you, Lee, but it's happened to Ira. And you need to call Florida's Elite Restoration 24/7. They'll respond. They'll come out to your property, and they'll give you a free inspection. You mention Ira or Joe Bucks Fan when you first call. You'll get a $500. You'll get $500 back if you need their services and sign on with them. So maybe that's money for your deductible or just cash back. They can do everything. They're a one-stop shop. They can redo your kitchen if you have a flood in your kitchen and that's what it ultimately needs. FloridasElitereStoration.com. Check out their five-star Google reviews today. Lee and I were at the select intimate, I'll call it, sit down with Buccaneers general manager Jason Light at One Buck Palace on Wednesday for his first public comments on Mike Evans and all things free agency. We got to get into that. And the draft, hard to believe, it's less than 5 weeks away. The draft, it's right here in front of us. NFL annual meeting coming up where Team Glazer and Todd Bowles will get to weigh in on Mike Evans and all the things going on. So we got plenty to get to. How did you feel about that intimate meeting with Jason Light? Quite a scene it was.
I come away, the Bucs are hiding something. They're hiding something. You know, Light, at least three times, Light referenced Mike Evans' decision, a family decision. And after like the third or fourth time Light said that, like, Jason, you've said that three different times. What are you talking about? Is it a family illness? Is his daughter going to Stanford? What are you referencing here? Oh, you know, you sit around, you talk about it with your family. He was very, that just weirded me out a little bit. He kept referencing family decision, which, by the way, he didn't mention before. And it had the scent of being rehearsed because he kept repeating it. Mike Florio likes to say, silence invites speculation. And I don't think the Bucs want to admit that there may be some issues that turned Evans off within the last 14 months. That he said, I'm done in Tampa Bay. I'm done with the Bucs. Let's be serious here. He took a multi-million dollar haircut and also embraced 13.3% taxes, state taxes, to get away from the Bucs. You just don't do that.
Yeah, to set the scene a little bit, so it was you, it was me, it was three other reporters. We're sitting at a conference table. Jason Light comes in. He was kind of jovial, you know, shook everybody's hand. Good to see everybody. Obviously,
until knows a lot.
Then the topic of Mike Evans came up, obviously, pretty quickly. And
he got depressed.
He became kind of depressed. Yeah. Visually just kind of down. You know, he wasn't like, hey, you know, we've got this in the rearview mirror now. And, you know, I want to put a good light on this. No, it was he was happy. Not happy, but he was open as far as sharing his depression about the whole thing. And what I thought was interestingly, the big whopper of interesting I'm going to bring up in a second, but Light moved from on the record to off the record. He kind of weaved things he wanted to share, things he didn't, but it was very clear he validated what Albert Breer of SI.com reported, that, quote, things got weird with Mike Evans and the Bucks on the weekend before free agency. You know, this all went down Monday, so that's Saturday and Sunday before.
The weekend before, that's key.
Yeah, 2 days before. And Light made it clear that, okay, we had an offer to Evans. We made another offer. He made that very clear. There was a second offer. And there was no response to the second offer from Evans' camp. And I think that's the moment when things got, quote, weird.
Well, the reason why I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I did, when I said that's the key element, because I wrote this a couple weeks ago. Shady McCoy went on his podcast and his YouTube TV show, Weeknights, called The Speakeasy, and he said he was with Evans the Saturday before legal tampering, and that basically he told Shady it's looking like he's going to San Francisco. Now, I don't know about you, Steve. I know I wouldn't, and I'm curious what our listeners would do if they would make a multi-million dollar decision to play for someone or somewhere without having talked to the coach or spoken to the general manager, minimum. You're going to make a multi-million dollar decision. It's going to cost you millions. It's going to cost you millions. You're going to leave an offer on the table to make a lot more money. to leave an organization that that's the only organization you've ever known in the NFL that wants you, and you're going to bolt that without talking to the coach or the general manager?
It's hard to say for a couple of reasons. One, the NFL changed the rules this year where when tampering starts on that Monday, now teams are allowed to talk directly with the NFL player for an hour via Zoom, maximum 1 hour call, because the previous rules of tampering said only the agents or its player's representative can talk to the team. And the players didn't like it. The teams didn't like it. And they said, could you please just let us, you know, put a guy on a call with his agent and chat with him, look him in the eye on a screen. And the NFL caved this year. So my point is that it's happened years and years in the past. It's happened where guys move on without talking, or they show up at $1, and sometimes a guy will say, yeah, I met Todd for the first time today, or, you know, or Bruce Arians, yeah, he told me this morning, oh, I've been looking at you for years, or whatever. So it's hard to say. Of course, the unspoken tampering goes on all the time.
Sure.
Which is players talking to each other. You know, it came out that Evans had called George Kittle, you know, or whatever, weeks ago, and said, sell me on the Niners. But the agents are allowed to talk to the teams in generalities and say, hey, you know, I represent Mike Evans. Is this a guy you might be interested in? And they're allowed to say, yeah, maybe. And, you know, it's interesting, though, that Evans was clear, at least with McCoy, that he wanted to go. At least that's what McCoy expressed.
Just to be clear and fair, we know that agents talk to the general managers and coaches at the combine and kind of get a framework for what a potential contract would be. And that's like, you know, generally 2 weeks
sure.
later. So we know that happens. And by the way, the Kittle thing, I got to say this. I know Kittle went on some podcast and talked about how he wooed Evans. And one of the benefits of playing for the 49ers, he told Evans, was that he got to sleep on a bed on away games. You going to take a $2 million haircut just so you can sleep on a bed 8 times a year?
Yeah, and I've traveled on the Bucs team plane before. And
it's not like it's commercial, is it?
No, and there's a certain amount of seats on the plane that, you know, guys are fully lounged out. It's almost like it's not a private room, but it's like nothing you would see on a commercial aircraft. And, you know, it's not exactly a rough situation with the, you know, the endless food service and all that stuff. So that's not where I was sitting. That's reserved. Like they have a certain amount of seats. And I've heard a lot of nonsense. Fans and others talking about, oh, you know, Bucks got a bad grade on travel and things like that. Depending on the type of player you are, that affects your travel experience because Mike Evans gets the best seats on the plane with the best reclining pot, like the first class area. The lesser players who they all vote in that NFLPA survey, those guys at the bottom of the roster, there's more of those than there are the superstars. And those guys have to pay if they don't want to share a room with the Bucks. And that's something that irks a lot of players that I know personally. Some teams just give you a private room on the road. The Bucks say, if you want a private room, you got to pay extra. And Mike Evans isn't in that situation. No. He's staying in the best available room. He's on his own. He doesn't care about the extra $150 a night. And so those issues that some players may have with a team with travel and food, that doesn't apply to a superstar like Mike Evans. If Mike Evans goes to the Bucks cafeteria and says to the guy, hey, says to the nutritionist, hey, can we make sure we have a grilled asparagus every day? They're going to say, yes, Mike.
Can you whip me up a special shake?
Yeah, this is not like, you know, the
J.J. Roberts.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Insert the name of a backup or a
bottom. Practice squad dude.
Exactly. So very different experience.
Who are you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, who are you? So, but Jason Light was candid to a degree, but are they hiding something? What I think is most importantly is that I think they're hiding some things now because they don't know everything. Jason Light revealed to us that he has yet to talk via phone with Mike Evans as of Wednesday. So 9 days after Evans leaving, Jason Light said, we haven't had a phone call. We had some texts. I'm sure I'll talk to him soon. You know, we're very close. Well, you know, everybody listening has had a job, most likely, and you've probably had at least a job for many years. And if you were close with your boss and you worked somewhere for 12 years and they paid you millions of dollars and you considered them family, could you imagine walking away from the job without a phone call? Even a couple days later saying, hey, you know, I know it's emotional. Let's have a little chat, whatever. That is bizarre.
You think so?
Absolutely bizarre to not have a verbal chat with your boss, the guy who brought you in, who you say you love. Jason Light is public, says Mike Evans is means a lot to my family. He's friends with my kids. He's this, he's that. No phone call, Mike? So I think Jason Light may not know the whole truth yet because he hasn't had that chat with Mike to say, hey, Mike, just give a shoot me straight. What happened?
I don't dispute this, but there's no evidence. A lot of people point to Todd Bowles. Now, Light was asked about that. He rejected that notion that Bowles was the reason Evans left. But we haven't heard that from Evans, have we?
Evans also didn't say much about the Bucks with his news conference in San Francisco with their media. Granted, it was Zoom and all that, but it was very short, relatively speaking. It was 9 minutes.
Yeah, it's short.
And he didn't come with any kind of prepared statement for Buccaneers fans. He issued one through his foundation, but that was kind of weird.
Well, that was for the fans more than anything.
And that's also the foundation. That's not Mike Evans.
Yeah, yeah.
So, very strange to a degree. That no phone call really, I think, lets you know how emotional and it was for both sides. But also, they don't have all the answers. Otherwise, I think Mike would have just called and spoken freely. Mm-hmm. You know, and I assume at this point, Evans has talked to Baker and his good buddy Chris Godwin and told them what's going on. Maybe not.
You would
I don't
think.
Know. These are very important questions, mm-hmm. I think, that we're going to get answers to, Lee.
I do know that I did not expect Light to come out and say, yeah, Evans had it with Todd Bowles. I did not expect that. Did not expect it at all. No, he did not say that. But, I mean, to hear a general manager throw his coach under the bus, you know, right before the draft, I just couldn't imagine that ever happening.
And I realize some fans might think it's strange for me to sit here and say these are important questions and we're going to get answers. But if you're a Bucks fan, a serious Bucks fan, you're following the team year-round. There's only 20 or so games a year, give or take, depending on the year, including preseason and playoffs. That's 300-plus days where it's not game day or post-game day, and you're obsessing about the team. You love the team. And this is a major happening. Mike Evans, franchise legend, true legend, walks out the door and all the answers aren't there and everybody allegedly loves each other. I think it's important to understand what's going on with the organization now, what may have gone on in the past, Evans' perspective, and we're going to do what we got to do to get those answers. I know I want them just as a fan, forgetting about the media side of things. I want those answers. I'd like to know. I'd like to understand it. And you know, we're committed to it. Also, what you got to squeeze in is shopping at Bill Curry Ford because they have got the best offers in town, 1 mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. Don't worry, drive Curry. Bill Curry Ford is family owned since 1960. At one time, they were the only Ford dealership in Tampa, the first family of Ford, and they've got Truck Month going on right now. 0% financing, zero money down, zero payments for 90 days. And up to $10,000 off MSRP. Ask for the Joe Bucks fan discount from General Manager Sean Sullivan, BillCurryFord.com. Get shopping there today or head to the showroom there a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry. So, Lee, we mentioned how Jason Light said on Wednesday, 9 days after learning that Mike Evans was out, that he hadn't had a conversation yet via phone, telephone conversation with Evans, and he looked forward to having that. And Light, though, at the combine, we were there right in front of him when he was saying the communication with Mike's team is great, open, constant communication. They felt good about re-signing him or at least getting to a point where they'd be able to match any offer and all that. And Light has a close relationship with Evans. No phone chatter. It just says Evans isn't ready to tell him exactly what happened, which is pretty stunning. And you have to think that nobody was closer with Evans. It's not like he talked to the Glazers and they didn't tell Light yet or he was on the phone with Bowles. No, he's known Jason Light for 12 years as the guy who made him his number one pick. And many of us saw the Raise the Flags documentary on Amazon, Evans professing his love for Light, Light even getting choked up in the documentary talking about Evans. It's kind of fascinating.
You know, Baker Mayfield, what, 3 weeks ago, said, oh, yeah, I really think Evans is coming back. They allegedly were close. I know allegedly Evans is close with Godwin, although Godwin's not much of a public person. But Mayfield was on a podcast recently. He thought the chances were very good Evans is coming back. So I just would like to wonder what's going through Mayfield's head. Like, you know, he basically what Evans did, it wasn't just that he left the Bucks, but he basically told Mayfield and Godwin, yeah, I'd rather play with other guys. That's basically what he said in this transaction. Because he still wanted to play for him, with him, I should say, he'd still be here.
It feels like, from a distance, Evans feels a little guilty, you know, and maybe doesn't want to let it all out yet. Lee, for the fans who never saw it or don't remember it, because it was late January on the Rondé Barber Show on WFLA, Baker Mayfield was a guest. It was unclear at that time whether Evans was going to be playing football in 2026, soon after his agent announced, yes, he's coming back, we're going to work it out in free agency. But Baker expressed a lot of confidence on Evans. And I'm going to quote here, but then I'm going to sort of cut it in half, you know, because there's some filler in the middle that isn't important. He said, Mayfield, quote, "Mike's too much of a competitor and cares too much about Tampa to end his career without 1,000 yards, without a division championship, without a playoff run." He went on to say, "Understanding who Mike is, this is my guess, that he doesn't want to end it like it was in 2025. He knows the potential in Tampa if we're able to stay a little bit more healthy. Zach Robinson, the new coordinator, will do great things for us and we'll go from there," end quote. Mayfield went on to say Evans has plenty more in the tank, and you could tell the energy and the, quote, fire that he had at the end of last season. So those were strong words for Mayfield, and remembering how he said it with a ton of confidence that, you know, Mike loves Tampa and knows Tampa and is too much of a fiery guy not to come back. Really a fascinating situation because, look, when other Bucs greats left, we knew why. Warren Sapp, he didn't get his contract in time. The communication wasn't good. He jumped at a deal that was on the table. Free agency was different back then. Guys actually flew to teams to take a visit, and it wasn't like signing blind like it is now. John Lynch, the Bucs thought his neck was messed up. They let him go. This is very, very, very different. Light, however, also expressed that he feels great about the current receiver room.
Although he did say he might be looking for one.
Which obviously makes sense. Mm-hmm. But he also expressed that Evans shared that he had really good feelings about the Bucs receivers. I understand that because, of course, Light constantly would be asking Evans, what do you think of the new guys? They had two rookies last year. How's it coming together? What do you think? And I'm sure that he had constant feedback from Evans. And it makes sense that Evans felt great about that. And maybe he looked at that and said, you know what? Maybe Abuk is better than I am right now. Maybe he thought that in his head a little bit. Or maybe he thought, like, you know, if I'm going to get what I want out of this team, I might have to not be the all-team guy that I am. And it might be difficult, you know? Because I was thinking about it, Lee. Evans was watching 8 Bucs games last year. Mm-hmm. He's never done that before. So no. He got to see, one, how horrible the defense is. And maybe he saw how horribly coached the team was. And maybe he saw how brutal the special teams were and how lifeless they were on a huge game with the Rams. Didn't show up. So maybe those things had a factor. But he also watched Abuka tear it up against Seattle as the number one receiver and beat them in their crib. Maybe he started thinking, you know what, maybe it's just time for me to find a new spot football-wise. I don't know.
I'll add to that. Not only did Evans get to watch the Bucs from a different perspective, he also had an opportunity to watch the league because, you know, when guys are playing, they're absolutely focused on that game. And especially if they're traveling, they don't get to watch much football. We watch more football, you know, overall the league than players do. And so maybe he saw how teams were otherwise using receivers, their number one receiver, and he got, well, you know, I could do this, I could do that. Well, how come I'm not getting this in Tampa? How come I'm not doing that? Maybe he was looking at San Francisco, and he even said, I think that I am that piece. So maybe that had something to do with it. Something changed within the last year. One of the attributes of Evans was he was not a diva. He didn't care about targets, didn't care about passes, wanted to win. If Godwin got 20 catches and they won a playoff game, he was happy as hell. Did that change? I don't know.
We've had a lot of time to think about this, but I really thought that, you know, him watching the Bucs from a, of course he's not a fan, but when your collarbone's healing from surgery and you're sitting on a lounge chair, yeah, you're a fan temporarily, and it didn't look good. But yeah, he's not a diva, and I don't think he's changed, but I think he realized, you know, this is a spot where, you know, I'd rather be the guy. It doesn't mean I'm going to be greedy, but in overall, big picture, I'd rather be the guy on a team, and I think I could do that for this team or that team, and, you know, the Bucs will be fine without me. I think maybe he sold himself on that a little bit.
Now, I do know one potential factor and Evans leaving, I thought, was he has got sick of the revolving door at offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Now, Light, in our sit-down last week, kind of waved that off. Like, no, he was excited about Zach Robinson. He wasn't that excited.
Yeah, and Light did say, you know, teams change coordinators all the time, but let's be realistic. The Bucs are on their fifth coordinator in 5 years. Mm-hmm. That does not happen all the time anywhere. And, okay, if that's the reality, in theory, Light was sort of justifying the theory that makes San Francisco even more attractive because they've only had one play caller in 9 years now. So, but Evans, on the flip side of that, logically, and we've tried to think this of, at every angle, Evans only has a year or two left, probably. Mm-hmm. 2 years, let's say. So that's not like he's going to be there 5 years with one coordinator. So it is a new coordinator. But I get that when you go to a team that has had one coordinator for so long, everybody is running the offense at a really high level, mm-hmm. and he can catch up, and he doesn't have a bunch of people asking him, what's going on, what are we doing, and everyone, you know. I get why he would want to play for San Francisco, the football team, but the truth just isn't out there yet, and we got to hear it.
Now, another potential factor, it sort of involves he wanted more targets. I don't think there was any animosity with Ibuka or any of the rest of the receivers. And this is why I say that. I don't know if you remember this. I got the picture in my head. We have photos in our JoeBucksFan.com network that Evans is like knee slapping, laughing, head cocked back, roaring, joking around with Amika Ibuka and Tez Johnson. I don't think you do that if you didn't get along with those guys or you didn't like them.
No, I don't think there's anything like that going on. We were on the field, you and I, in Pittsburgh for the joint practice last summer. And Evans just glued to the other receivers having a good time. No, I don't think there's anything like that. Even the targets thing I'm skeptical of. I think wanting targets is very different from wanting to be the number one guy. I don't think those two necessarily go hand in hand because you could be the number one guy on a team that isn't going to get you a ton of targets because that's not how their offense is. I think he wanted to be the number one guy. But as Chris Sims, former Bucs quarterback, NBC analyst, a guy who's been here on the Joe Bucs Fan Show on WDAE, as he said, and he's close friends with Kyle Shanahan, who he got to know when he played here in Tampa, and Shanahan was an assistant. They're very tight. He said very clearly, look, Brock Purdy doesn't throw deep balls. That's not his thing.
Not much.
He's not airing it out. Evans is a fit that doesn't feel like a fit for San Francisco, but, you know, it'll challenge Shanahan to work him in, and it's a very unique situation. You know, hopefully we get some answers from Todd Bowles because I think the fans want it. The fans mm-hmm. want closure, and that closure is only coming with the real truth
yes,
from
answer.
Mike Evans. Mm-hmm. So we are going to get off the Mike Evans bus for a little while, Lee, because you know, there's more going on. The life has to go on, but the Evans nightmare, the Evans reality is not over yet. We need more truth, and we're going to get it, and it will trickle in, I'm sure, over months. At mm-hmm. some point, Evans will get pressed on the details. We may even have Ira Kaufman go out and talk to him. We'll see. So one thing that came up when we sat with Jason Light is I asked him about Kenny Gainwell, new running back. You know, Light talked about how that was a guy they were looking at for a long time, popular name in the building as far as a target. And as we know, the Bucs paid $7 million a year for Gainwell for 2 years, which is strong pay for a running back. Now, years ago on the Ira Kaufman podcast, we had Bruce Arians, and I was pressing him on signing a running back. Because remember, the Bucs started out in 2019 with Peyton Barber was the go-to running back. And Arians, famous quote, shot back at me, I don't pay for that position.
But he paid the next year.
Well, not really, because the Jaguars had cut Fournette. They declined his fifth-year option, and then they didn't even want him for his fourth year. They cut him, and the Bucs signed him in September for only $2 million. So that's not a lot of money. Obviously, Brady, you know, had a driving force in that. Whatever Tom wants, he's going to get. But here's Jason Light now, on his own, no Bruce Arians, and they're paying top dollar for a free agent running back. I thought that was kind of interesting, and it speaks to how powerful Light has become. Arians is now in the shadows, even though he's still officially Light's senior advisor. You know, what do you think of the Bucks spending that kind of money on a running back when, obviously, you know, John Schneider of the Seahawks was just out talking about the loss of Kenneth Walker in free agency, you know, the Super Bowl MVP there, 1,000-yard rusher, who I don't think is any kind of incredible superstar, though he had a great playoffs. He was just out on a podcast talking about, hey, you don't need to pay for that position. You can get guys. A lot of interesting chatter about running backs around the league.
My thoughts don't turn to Bruce Arians or Jason Light. My thoughts turn to Bucky Irving. And it wasn't just Kenneth Gainwell they gave money to. It was also Sean Tucker. So you're not bringing Gainwell in. At least I wouldn't think so. For that kind of money, with that kind of experience, for him to sit on the pine. Same with Sean Tucker. You threw money at him. Okay, great. Nice player? Sure. But I don't think you're going to do that unless you plan to use him. FYI, you got bigger problems than running back. I think they're spooked about Bucky Irving for some reason. Whether they think he's injury prone or you fill in the blank. I'm not going to suggest anything. But you don't do that unless you want to use these guys. Well, wait a minute. You got Bucky Irving allegedly healthy on the roster. What's going on here? Well, it tells me they're not 100% sold on Bucky for whatever reason. And you can jump to your own conclusions about that.
Yeah, the interesting thing, you know, I asked Jason Light, hey, the film seems to show that Gainwell is the same player Bucky Irving is. Now, Light could have smacked me down and said, well, you're not watching the film right. But he actually said, good job. It's, you're right. You watched one guy, you see the other guy. You watch the other guy, you see, you watch Gainwell, you see Irving. And they do look remarkably similar. And I watched a lot of Gainwell, except Gainwell doesn't have those, you know, crazy highlight runs, changing fields, and mm-hmm. it lacks a little bit of the electricity that Bucky brings. He's good, and they, like I said, they do look alike, but doesn't have the same ceiling as Bucky Irving, which is totally fine. Mm-hmm. But it is rare for a team to bring in a guy that looks like almost as a clone of the other running back. Now, Tyler Allgeier, I'll give you an example, Lee, was a running back on the free agent market who had strong success with the Falcons. And Zach Robinson's coming from there. He's a little bit younger than Gainwell, and he's a complimentary back from the standpoint of he's a big dude. He's a bruiser on the goal line. They were bringing him in for Bijan Robinson, you know, 6'1", had 8 touchdowns last year, versatile. And he's making, it seems, a little bit less than Gainwell. So I don't know what the situation was there, but the Bucs really wanted a guy who was just like Bucky Irving, which makes you think for a second, well, maybe they think if we have to replace Bucky Irving, at least we got the same kind of back. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Well, also, let's remember, when Bucky was healthy, he wasn't running that well. It very well could be, and I always go to this because I think it's something that's way overlooked. Just because a rookie had success doesn't mean he's going to be a Hall of Famer. And Bucky had great success as a rookie. However, defensive coaches are paid, too. They get to look at film all offseason, and I'm sure there were teams on the Bucs schedule that studied Bucky Irving and made the point, okay, we'll adjust our defense to stop him. And Bucky, and I'm speculating here, maybe Bucky did not adjust to the adjustments well. I think that's part of it. I also think Grizzard was not a great schemer of the run game. I think that was a big part of it. I also think another part of it, the Bucs had trash at guard. After all the injuries, they're garbage.
They did bring back
Dan. I saw that.
Did bring back Dan Feeney.
Doesn't mean he's going to make the final roster.
As Charlie Heck moved on to the Dolphins, who are tanking, which I thought that was kind of funny. And but the bottom line is there's a shortage of guards around the league. Very few teams have quality backup guards. The Bucs know they need to do better. And maybe.
Do they?
Yeah. Maybe if Feeney has a full offseason with the team. Remember, they signed him off the Bills practice squad. Mm-hmm. Maybe they think he'll be better as a backup, right? He doesn't need to start. But, you know, we'll see if they draft a guy or pick somebody up. But there's a shortage of guards. Nobody's got all these amazing backup guards out there. You see it in free agency. You didn't have a bunch of backups go else, jump ship and sign for good money. It's a shortage, and that's fine. GMs would tell you there's a shortage of offensive linemen around the league every mm-hmm. year. You know, it's a great excuse for them, and it's also rooted in reality. Jason Light did make it clear, though, that he's not worried about losing Jamel Dean. Not worried at all. Felt great about Benjamin Morrison.
I'm glad somebody did.
Loved how what they did see from him on a positive side.
All three plays.
And Light sort of threw it out there, hinted in our sit down with him at One Buck. He hinted that Jacob Parrish would be moving outside.
That would be smart.
So you would think that Morrison can move inside, or they'll rotate a little bit, or of course McCollum may move to nickel. I guess it's possible at least. But he also expressed a ton of confidence in McCollum bouncing back from what was a bad year last year. But I believe they are confident. You know, I guess they could draft a cornerback at mm-hmm. some point, but mm-hmm. I think they're confident with those three. And reality is they are young guys. And Parrish showed he could play a full season. McCollum did get hurt, but he's usually pretty healthy. And as a guy who's played through injuries before, Morrison, of course, is a huge question mark. with his injury history, including last year.
I'm not anti-Morrison, and you could directly point to his injuries. You know, he had surgery before he was drafted by the Bucks. I think training camp, right before training camp, he was given a green light to go full bore. That may have had something to do with it. Well, you know, he was a rookie. Let's say rookies are rookies for a reason. McCollum, I don't want to use the word respect. I lost a lot of confidence in McCollum. I thought he might be an up-and-comer, and I think he was part of the problem with the Bucks defense last year, not necessarily because of his play. That defense tanked on Bulls last year. They quit on Bulls. I'm just going to be blunt about it. And he was involved in that. Oh, by the way, he got a contract redone. That's interesting.
Yeah, you mean he got a new contract prior to last season. I don't want anybody to think that he got a new deal this offseason like that.
I think he tuned Bulls out. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. The Bucks corners aren't that great. Jamel Dean was a good player. I'm not saying he was a Pro Bowler. And I believe in the Mike Tomlin philosophy. I'll tolerate you until I can replace you. I don't necessarily see, unless it's Jacob Parrish, who I'm a big fan of. If it's Jacob Parrish, then we have no discussion. But if it's not Jacob Parrish, I don't see Dean's replacement on the roster.
Well, for those who are looking, you've got Christian Izian is with the Lions. Now, he was not an outside corner. But Kendall Vildor, which I thought was funny.
Yes.
He signed with the Patriots. Now, he was the villain for many fans last
third
year.
3rd and 28.
Actually, after the 3rd and 28 play came the, I think it was 4th and 14 play against the Falcons. And that's the one that Vildor didn't drop in coverage. He stayed up to in case they threw to Bijan Robinson out of the backfield. And then Antoine Winfield was late arriving on the play, broke late on a throw that was beyond the sticks and a throw that we talked to someone at $1 very close to the situation who acknowledged that for Mr. Evan Klosky out there, who doesn't seem to think that there was any responsibility for Antoine Winfield on the play, who acknowledged that Winfield broke late and because the throw was beyond the sticks, he should have been there because that was his responsibility beyond the sticks. Regardless, that ugly time in Bucks history is over and Vildor is gone. So the cornerback's depth is super thin right now, which leads you to believe that they have to pick up at least a veteran on a minimum contract or go draft a guy that Bulls feels he can develop pretty quick.
I have no confidence in the corners, unless you're putting Parrish out there. Parrish stays inside. Really? McCollum's your best corner? Really? And Benjamin Morrison, let's be real. I love Jason Light, but man, he blows smoke about his own players. You know,
he should. He should be happy about his guys. If he's not going to blow smoke about him, then we're in trouble in some ways.
I know that the Bucks are very sensitive to how their players feel about the organization and feel about how people are talking about them. And so I don't expect Light to say, oh, this guy's got to do X, Y, and Z before he expects to ever be a starter. But damn, wouldn't it be awesome to have a Bill Parcells just unload on players? You know, those days are gone.
There are general managers who are tough on players a little bit.
Brutally honest.
But brutally honest, that you're not really going to find that. And it's understandable. I mean, it's not like it was in the old days where the comments didn't have a chance to go viral. Now, you know, that can go on forever, over and over again. After every bad play in every game, it's going to show up on Twitter. And you can get all weekend and beyond to Bill Curry Ford, 1 mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. Tampa's first family of Ford dealers since 1960. Truck Month is going on. 0% financing, zero payments for 90 days, no money down, and up to $10,000 off MSRP. There's other 0% financing offers as well. Bill Curry Ford, family owned, makes a difference. Ask for that Joe Bucks fan discount from Sean Sullivan, the general manager. You can find him at BillCurryFord.com. And don't forget to take advantage of their mobile service. You can actually get your vehicle worked on at your home for no additional charge. It's unreal. BillCurryFord.com. Schedule that today. So, Lee, let's flip to the positive side. Prickly Pete Prisco did his power rankings, and Prickly Pete is the CBS Sports longtime NFL insider guy. Comes to $1.
Several times a year.
Usually at least 3 times a year.
Yeah.
Last time he was here, he had a private chat with Baker Mayfield. He's very tight with Levante David. They go back years and always talks to Jason Light. So a guy who knows what's going on, if you're not familiar with Prickly Pete. And we call him Prickly Pete because he's just maybe the most angry guy in NFL media. He's always angry. He's always mad at something. And he freely admits it. All right, so look, Prisco did his power rankings, and he put the Bucks at 13. 13 in his post-free agency power rankings. And he put them at 7th in the NFC. That's a playoff team. The Saints, Panthers, and Falcons, don't ask me what order, but they were essentially ranked by Prisco 23, 24, and 25. So he sees the Bucs as the early favorite, as the odds makers do. I know you wrote earlier, Lee, Kalshi, the prediction markets have the Bucs as the favorites. Whatever fans think of the Bucs right now, my point only is that the media, national and otherwise, is going to treat the Bucs as the favorites to get to the playoffs. As we enter the season, you know, June, July, August, after the draft, the Bucs are going to be the favorites and will be treated as such.
I guess I'll be the outlier. I do not see that. I see the defending division champions got better in free agency, and I see the Bucs, they did take a step back. I'm not optimistic whatsoever. I hate to say it, but I guess you could say I'm down on the Bucs right now.
Hey, there are some fans that are. We'll do a new poll and see our own post-free agency poll, see where fans are. I'm not down on them. I'm not happy. I'm not saying, oh, man, they're better than they were on paper when they walked off the field in the last game. Now, I'm not talking about injuries. I'm just talking on paper. But I'm really not down, and I understand why the consensus is that they're top team in the division. Now, Lee, is it fair to say, hey, Carolina and the Bucs were tied at 8-9. They had a must-win game at the end of the year. The Bucs beat them. I can't really say Carolina's better. I can't say the Bucs are better, but I can't say Carolina's better.
Better as in last December or better as in end of March?
You said that Carolina's better than the Bucs. They were division champs. Is it a fair counter-argument saying, hey, they had the same record. Bucs beat them last week of the season. I can't go there.
No, it is not fair. They won the division. The Bucs didn't. The Bucs crapped their pants. Panthers didn't. Panthers went out and improved their team. You can't tell me the Bucs are better when they lost their starting corner and a Hall of Fame receiver. So, no, I can't say that.
So why do you think Prickly Pete and others are putting the Bucs as the favorite?
Recent history, maybe. Going back this decade, maybe. Maybe because they're looking at it from a 10th-story window and you and I are, you know, right in the thick of things. We're watching the Bucs, all their moves as they happen. I do not like the way this team ended. There are so many question marks. Question mark is starting corner, starting quarterback. Who's your top wide receiver? What happened to Ibuka the second half of the season? What's Zach Robinson going to be like? What about the linebackers? I like Anzalone, don't get me wrong. They need minimum two more linebackers. We don't know about Lavonte David. Where the Panthers, they were young, they were upcoming. You may not like Bryce Young, but there's no doubt who their best quarterback is. You love their wide receiver, the guy from Arizona, big, tall dude. They beefed up their defensive line. What did the Bucs do for an edge rush? Okay, they got a guy that can't start. Yay! The last 6 months have really, I won't say soured me, but I have a lot of doubts. I'm hopeful, but I hate using that word because it means nothing. I hope they got all the answers, but where were these answers in December?
The voice of the Dan Bucs fan, which is fine, they're out there. You know, I don't think Carolina's all that. Again, I also look at Week 18. Both teams needed the game. Everything was on the line. Nobody knew what was going to happen with the Falcons, who also were tied at 8-9, and in that game, and the Bucs won. They were better than the Panthers. I don't know. I'm not sure the Panthers got better where they really needed to on offense, but neither team is very good. I'm going to go with that. We asked Bucs fans at JoeBucsFan.com in our poll, our flash poll, one-hour poll, 400-something results, grade the Bucs' first week of free agency. So the top grade was a C, 18%.
Wow.
C-minus was 15%. C-plus was 13%. So if you put that all together, half the Bucs fans looked at the team as an average free agency, something around a C. But the next highest vote was 11.5% gave them a B, 10% gave them a B-. So the trend was that the Bucs did acceptable, not anything to be excited about. You know, because, I mean, everybody grades differently, but bottom line is there weren't very many Ds and Fs out there.
Wow, I would have given the Bucs a D, maybe even a D minus.
So there you go, D minus or worse, got 9%, a D.
I would have been there.
A D got 6%, so 15% of Bucs fans, you're in that camp.
Yeah, when you lose a Hall of Fame receiver and your best corner, you crap the bed badly.
Well, I think it comes down to a lot of fans don't believe Mike Evans is that guy anymore. They love him, they appreciate him, they know he's talented.
They sure wanted him.
Most of them. But we did that poll. Some of them were very varied on how much they were willing to pay Mike Evans. I think everybody wanted him, but a lot of people had a hard ceiling. No, you can't pay this guy number one receiver money. So fans are split. You know, we're going to all argue it out, scream it out from now until the draft, when the Bucs are sure to freak some people out with a pick or two. I think a defensive tackle is coming. I really do.
Another one?
And an edge rusher. Yeah, both of them. They're going to beef up that line. And if it doesn't work for Todd Bowles, the next coach will be set up with plenty of talent. You know, the offense, of course, there's a lot of hope that they can just snap right back to the good offense of 2024.
I have a whole lot more optimism about the offense than I do the defense for a variety of reasons. Now, this Muhammad, the guy from Detroit.
Al-Quadin Muhammad.
I'm glad you pronounced it. I think it's awesome that he had 11 sacks and the Bucs got a double-digit sack guy. I think that's awesome. And then I see that he couldn't start. And I'm like, wait a minute. If this guy was all that, how could you not find a place on the field for him? I mean, this is a passing league, and he's getting 11 sacks, and he doesn't start? I'm not killing the guy for that because he doesn't make the decision. And then you throw in the fact that a coach like Dan Campbell would let him out of the building.
Well, I'll say this. Detroit's defense wasn't very good last year. Dan Campbell,
which makes it even more weird,
woefully underachieved with a team that won 15 games the prior year. I don't think Dan Campbell is on his way to the Hall of Fame. And coaches make mistakes all the time.
Every game, 17 mistakes, you can't start?
I'm not saying it was a mistake. You have to look at the guy's ability, and who knows?
They know him better than anybody.
I'm not saying they had a bad assessment, but I did ask Jason Light at our sit-down on Wednesday. I said, hey, how does a guy with 11 sacks just get a one-year contract for low money? And Light kind of laughed, saying, it happens. We're going to find out. You know, we're glad we got him. He brings a lot of energy, so we'll see. The jury's out on him. All right, Lee, look, we've been talking all kinds of things, and you know, that meeting with Jason Light, I wish we could have brought fans into that, but there was a rule there, no cameras.
No cameras.
No cameras.
Not even photos.
No photos, no cameras. Look, Jason Light isn't ready to have all that Mike Evans laundry floating all around social media and everything. And not that he said anything controversial, but I get that the Bucs don't want to draw a spotlight to the loss of Mike Evans. I understand why he limited the media to people he felt he could trust, because one, he wanted to say some things off the record, so we can't share that stuff, and that's just how it is. But I feel comfortable saying there was no big smoking gun revealed by Jason Light.
Not even off the record.
Yeah, so he has some interesting nuggets for sure, but no big smoking gun. And it really is to be determined what comes out later when Evans eventually says his piece and what players have to say. I don't think players are going to reveal Mike Evans stuff, but you never know. You may have a couple of guys say, hey, this or that, or Lord knows Rashad White is eventually going to say, oh man, Mike. And you know, he's got a lot to say all the time.
Not only was I thinking of Rashad White, well, we had evidence ready. Shady McCoy comes out like, oh yeah, he already decided on San Francisco 3 days before legal tampering. Whoa, whoa, whoa. So someone's going to come out, whether it be George Kittle, whether it be Rashad White, whether it be Mayfield even.
Mayfield will be fun. I think Mayfield will take the high road, but eventually I could see him taking more of a candid road with...
Yeah, a couple years from now.
No, when he eventually gets with like a Barstool Sports interview.
Yeah.
Or, you know, Mayfield every year plays in that celebrity pro-am out
in Nevada.
Lake Tahoe. Yeah. And he usually does a few candid interviews there. And
Barstool's
has a couple of drinks on the course and, you know...
Loosens up.
Yeah, so it's coming. At this point, I got to say, I haven't decided if I'm rooting for Mike Evans yet. I don't know. I mean, I know I'm rooting for the 49ers to win 7 games.
I've said this before, I'll say it again. I want Mike to do well, but if he happens to have a really lousy couple years in San Francisco, it will make the medicine go down easier.
I hope Godwin and Abuka blow up. I'd love to see the Bucs passing game just blow away anything that's going on in San Francisco. I mean, and that's just being a competitor, and this is entertainment. I understand there's a lot of feelings, and we talked about the feelings between Light and Evans and speculated and what we could see on Light's face. But, hey, man, the guy leaves your team, you want to punch him in the face. You know, that's how it is. And other players, look, players leave all the time, and they're like, oh, you're going back to play your old team. Yeah, I can't wait to smack them around and, you know, kick their ass. Well, the same goes the other way. It really does, I think, especially when you have a guy like Evans, who's a franchise icon. Just imagine if Baker Mayfield walked in free agency after this year when the Bucs wanted him back, and he walks and goes to the Rams.
Oh, he's going to be going crazy.
Fans are going to want to kill the Rams if they're on the schedule. Yeah, that's a
Barry Mayfield. Want to kill the Bucs.
Yeah, exactly. He'll want to destroy them. Exactly. And, oh, Mayfield's going to scramble. You know, Anzalone better make him eat dirt. And, you know, that's just football. So if you don't like that, I get it. But, you know, I don't know. Not sure how I feel yet, which I think is how a lot of fans are.
Yeah. Well,
if they really dig in, they're not sure yet. And part of that's because they just don't know the whole truth. Even though I know a lot of fans listening would say, oh, of course, Mike thinks Todd Bowles sucks. That's why he left. Maybe that's true.
Well, you could certainly come to that conclusion when, you know, like I know people have seen the video of Evans freaking out, having a crash out against Atlanta. But when he was right at the locker room door and I'm 5 feet away from him, and to my knowledge, no one has video of that. When he doubled over, he was absolutely doubled over and just in absolute rage, he just screamed, 3rd and 28, what are we doing? That stuck in my head.
All right, well, Ira somewhere is doubled over. Hopefully it's not from too many bagels.
The buffet.
I'm assuming he's going to need a week to get back on the tennis court, unless he wears some sort of goggles or something.
That could be.
I would think so. I was looking this up because he's got he's got my tennis racket, and he's taking it. He's not giving it back. Yeah, he's like, I need to make you an offer. So I told him he can have it. We're going to work it out. You believe that? The guy takes my racket. Stole my tennis racket.
I believe it.